team as they lead us in worship, not in entertaining us, but to lead us in worship. We're thankful for that. Amen. Is Gina in here? Oh, you are back there. I see you. I see that hand. Wave at me if we get any news, okay? Just wave at me. All right. We have last night about 10:30, I got a text. Said, are y'all okay? And I thought, Jordan, did you misunderstand the news? You know, the storm's not coming for 4 days. We're fine. We're okay. And I'm like, huh? What? You know, why wouldn't we be okay? And she said, well, I tried to call Mom, but she didn't answer. And she said, I'm in labor. So last night she was in labor. She was about into about 5 minute interval there. And so, of course, I don't think Gina or I, either one, slept well last night. We haven't heard anything since then. So Gina sent a text this morning like, she said, am I GG yet? You know, what's the word? Help me something. And so we haven't heard anything yet. So we're waiting to hear. So we're excited about that, about being first-time grandparents. Those who've been there know that's pretty special. So excited about that. Well, this morning, it's amazing how the Lord puts together the sermons. It's just again and again and again, I'm blown away how He times these things. And so this morning, the title of our message, we're going back to our series on slaying giants. And the topic of this morning is fear and anxiety, or fear and worry. And, you know, I could preach a message on fear, I could preach a message on worry, but really those are almost two sides of the same coin. You know, usually worry brings fear, or fear brings worry, and those are two of the same things. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. If you want to turn to Nehemiah 6. We'll be in there a little bit. We're going to be in Luke chapter 12. If you want to mark your place there, there's a couple of the scriptures we're going to look at. But to begin with, what I want to talk about is this. So what is fear? We talk about fear and worry, but fear, focusing a little bit on that, because here again, this is a time of year I see people really go into panic mode. We have a neighbor right across the street from us. They went through Andrew. They lived down in Homestead when Andrew came through, and it's like PTSD. When a storm, the last storm, they were just all in a panic and all fretting that storm, even though it wasn't even coming close to us, really, just really full of fear and worry and anxiety. But Merriam-Webster defines fear as an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Okay, so an unpleasant, often strong emotion. So it's an emotion caused by anticipation. So anticipating that, or awareness of danger. A second meaning of that is anxious concern, anxious, anxiety, worry. That's these two go hand in hand. So what are the things that we fear? You know, we all probably struggle with fear. When I talk about, the giants, we're talking about giants of insecurity, or the different giants that we struggle. We talked about that. We all have a giant in our life. And when we talk about fear, there are fears that we all struggle with. There's things that we fear. So what do we fear? And the Bible addresses, it's amazing that the Bible really spells out things that we fear. First is this, we fear people. We fear people. Luke 12:4 says, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Who's that? That's people. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. So we fear people. They can hurt us. They can kill us. We fear what they may say or do. We fear how they may act or react. Don't we stress that sometimes? You know, you need to have a conversation. You don't know how people are going to respond, how they're going to act or react. We fear rejection. That's people. We fear what people think of us. We're really concerned with what people think of us or what they might say about us. You know, those kind of things can be paralyzing for us if we let that fear of people. You know, we fear, when we talk about people, we fear for our children, right? We fear for our grandchildren, fear for our parents as they age. We fear, you know, things that may happen with them. We fear our marriages. We fear things within our marriage sometimes. So people are one of the fears that we have. A second thing that we fear are our needs, okay? So the needs that we have in life, it's amazing. We have fear around the things that we need to survive, but also stuff. We fear about things. There's fear that comes up about stuff. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink. Now, do we need to eat? Absolutely we need to eat, right? Do we need to drink? Absolutely. You know, we can go a lot of time, we think we can't go more than one meal without a meal, right? We that's the way we are in America today. If it's noon, I got to eat. You know, I don't want to drop dead before 6 this evening. You know, I got to eat. But we can make it without food for a while. But water, we have to have water, right? We got to have clean water. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. So clothing, shelter, things that are going to protect us. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So we fear, you know, will I have food, water, clothing? Will I have those things that I need? Will I have those? We also, though, when we think about that, we put into this needs and stuff. So we get into even our finances. We fear this. We fear, you know, my investments. How's my investments? How are they doing? How's the market doing? You know, how about my salary, my pay? My pay hadn't gone up. Inflation's going up. My salary's not going up. Maybe it's a job situation. We fear I might lose my job. I might lose my livelihood. Insurance. Wow. Insurance going crazy. You got anybody else experiencing that? You know, pay raises aren't matching up with what insurance is doing by itself. My health insurance, they just sent us one. I think it's almost doubling. For next year. So those are the kind of things that can bring fear if we focus on those things. Another thing that the scriptures speak about is what I'd call the unknown. We fear the unknown, right? And that can be a lot of things. I'd call it this. It's the what ifs in life. It's the what ifs. And a lot of times we live in the what ifs, right? Well, what if this happens or what if that happens? We live in the hypotheticals. Well, we, you know, run through these scenarios. Well, what if that happens? And you know, we live in that place of these unknowns. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, "Therefore, do not worry. Do not worry about tomorrow." So what's the Lord saying? Don't worry about what you can't do anything about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Listen, today's got enough in it. You don't need to bring the worries of tomorrow on today. It doesn't alleviate the worries of tomorrow. It doesn't alleviate anything that's going on tomorrow. It doesn't change anything that's going on tomorrow. All you do is muddle up today. You mess it up even more today, worrying about tomorrow. So, you know, it's these unknowns. So we worry about the future. We worry about things that have not happened yet. We worry about these. We worry about death, war. Wow, I mean, right now, it's the world's on fire. It really is. We worry about the weather. Now, well, preacher, that's worthy of worry. It's worthy of watching. It's worthy of being aware of. It's worthy of preparing for. I don't think that it's not worthy of our worry, but we worry about weather. We worry about our health. People still worry about COVID, jobs, the economy. Well, economy, you know, the numbers. You watch the market and they get a report comes out and it goes way up. And another report comes out and it goes way down. I mean, everything swings on every little report that comes out. So people worry about the economy. Well, here's one. People are worried about the election. I mean, I hear people say, "I'm just afraid that person's going to win," and man, it's just I'm worried about that. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to do all I can to try to not let that happen. But I'm not going to fret and worry about those things. We also have some other things that we worry about are our phobias, you know, and I call these are our irrational fears, right? So fear of the dark. That's a real thing. But it's a phobia. Public speaking. Now you go, preacher, what's that got to do with, you know, anything spiritual? If I fear public speaking, well, if I let it hinder me from doing what God wants me to do, then that's a problem. That's right. It's okay to have a fear of public speaking. I have that fear. I do not look for a spotlight. I do not look for a podium to stand behind and spout out what I have to say. But God's called me to this, and. You know, I don't know why. I think that's what I've said, told before. I think God has a sense of humor because He created me this way, and then He calls me to be a preacher. Okay, Lord, but if I don't do what He calls me to do, regardless of my phobia, but there's other phobias we have: heights, spiders, snakes. Now, I don't think that one's irrational. I think that's absolutely a rational fear, fear of snakes. That's right, Pastor Aaron. That's a rational fear. That's You know, sickness. And when I say that's irrational or phobia, because some people just have a phobia of being sick. They're sick. Or here's one. This really is a thing too. People have a fear of clowns. Clowns. Anybody fear clowns? See? I get it. Okay. So the scriptures are clear with us about things that we worry about. But then fear and worry, here's the thing about this. Fear and worry are tactics of Satan.
That's right.
This is the whole point of this is that Satan uses fear and worry. It's one of his tactics to get us out of doing what he wants us to do. So look at Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 9. We're going to just read about five verses there. For they all were trying to make us afraid. Here we go. They're all trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. So going back to Nehemiah back a few weeks ago when we looked at this, the enemies of God were doing all they could to get Nehemiah away from the work of building the wall. They didn't want Jerusalem secured. They didn't want the city there secured. They didn't want the children of God to be protected, and they wanted them to still be under their thumb, under their control, and man, so they were hot about that. So they're trying to get Nehemiah away from the work. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Verse 10, afterward I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. And you hear what he's saying, come hide in the temple, come away from the work and come to the temple. We'll lock ourselves in here, but you get away from the work. That was what he's trying to get him to do. They're coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. And you can go all into that story, but bottom line was, that was a tactic of the enemy to get Nehemiah out of the work of God, to get him distracted from doing what God had called him to do and what he had put him there to do. Now, Satan wants you to fear and worry. That's exactly what he wants you to do. Here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to pull back from the work. He wants you to back down. He wants you to fold up camp and hide. It's okay if you go to church, but he wants to keep you in the corner, scared to get involved, to do anything for the Lord. I can't do that. You know, being scared. Satan is the sinister minister of fear. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to be fearful. If he can't get your soul, he wants you out of God's work. And it's like a competition for him. You know, if we're serving God faithfully, we bring glory to God. What does he want us to do? He wants us to be outside the work of God. Don't do what God's created you to do, what he's called you to do, what he saved you to do. Don't do those things. You can't do that. All whatever tactics he used to get you fearful. And see, fear is the opposite of faith.
Right.
Fear is the opposite of faith. A lot of people think that unbelief is the opposite of faith, but unbelief's not the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith, and it is because it is faith that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we are, you know, it's about having faith, and faith gives us victory over fear. So you might think that unbelief is the opposite of faith, but the truth is that fear is the opposite of faith. And so when we have faith, it drives out fear. We during COVID and all that going on, we talked, we mentioned this all the time. Faith over fear. We're not making decisions based on fear. We're not going to be driven by fear. We're not going to quit worshiping because of fear. We're going to walk in faith and not in fear. And that's the way God wants us to walk. It's not the way Satan wants us to walk. He wants us to walk in fear. Now, there's three points I want to make this morning about fear. Number one, fear disrespects our Lord. It disrespects our Lord. Fear and worry are an insult to God. They're an insult to God. It's an insult to His sovereignty. Because what it says is, you know, God is in control, but fear says, no, he's not. It's an insult to his providence. He guides and provides for us, but fear says, no, he doesn't. And it's an insult to his power, because he protects us, but fear says, no, he doesn't protect you. Now, it's us saying this. It's us saying, you know, he's in control. I know he is guiding. I know God protects. I know that he is what he has done in the past. I know what he has promised, but remember that? We talk about that a lot. A lot of the buts that we throw out. We throw out the scriptures. Well, I'm trusting the Lord in this, but. Well, you know what you just said? I'm not trusting the Lord in this. Because it's this thing. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Folks, it don't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it. That's what settles it. That's what settles it. There's a big period there. God said it, period. That settles it. Okay? Here's the thing. When we have faith, I trust God. Amen. It ought to be a period right there. Amen. Not a comma and then but, dot, dot, dot. It's not but this and but that. And well, I know God's in control, but this storm's awfully big. I know God's in control, but the economy might be failing. I know God's in control, but Russia's got nuclear weapons. I know God's in control, but they might steal the election. I know God's in control, but. Do we have faith or not? If we have faith, we shouldn't be walking in fear. See, that's not faith. That's not trusting. See, that's doubting. That's fear. That's worry. And that disrespects God. When Israel left Egypt, they were halted at the bank of the Red Sea. They were afraid and said they wished they had died in Egypt. Do you remember the story? They get there and they're like, well, why didn't we should have just died there in Egypt? You know, at least we had food in Egypt and all this stuff. Boy, they were the quickest whiners until we come along. And you know why, right? Okay. Why were they afraid? Because they forgot what God had just done with the 10 plagues to get them out of Egypt. So that God does the 10 plagues, they watch that, they see the miracle of that, they get out of Egypt, and then they come to the Red Sea, and what do? All of a sudden, God doesn't have any power. And fear comes when we forget what God that God is standing right there beside us, when we forget that he's with us, he's there for us, he's working for us. He hasn't gone anywhere. Fear disrespects our Lord. He is insulted as we forget his presence and stop trusting him. So God parts the waters for Israel, and they cross miraculously on dry ground. And now all their fears are dispelled, right? Wrong. They're dispelled until the next thing comes along. And soon they run short on food and water, and they say, Moses, did you bring us out here to die? Sure. You know, God can part the waters. But can he give us water out here in the desert? Yes, he can. And yes, he did. And right there out of the rock and manna from the sky, and he provides for them. And they're over their fears now, right? Their fears are done. That's it. That's all taken care of. Nope. Wrong answer again. Because they come to the edge of the promised land, and some of the spies return with a bad report. And what is it that gripped their heart? Fear. They're like giants over there. And fear gripped their heart. Fear disrespects our Lord. Because it's saying whatever it is we fear is bigger than him. It's more powerful than him. He can't defeat that. He can't beat that. He doesn't have the power to overcome that. That's what we're saying when we fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Have you noticed that sometimes with fear, or most of the time with fear, we don't have a sound mind? You notice that? We get full of anxiety and worry and stress, and we don't think clear. We don't act straight. You know, we begin to act in irrational ways because fear is not a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of power and of love, and he's given us a sound mind. So you get the picture here, you know, as Paul wrote that. Paul's in prison, and he's telling a guy who's free not to be afraid. Paul's in prison. He may die, and he's telling the free man, hey, man, don't be afraid. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. This means that fear should not should have nothing to do with our circumstances. Amen?
Amen?
It shouldn't have anything to do with that. God can take me through a storm, or he can wipe me out on a clear day. Either way, right? It's up to him. And my fear isn't going to change that. So fear is a choice. Would you agree with that? Fear is a choice. You can choose to fear, or you can choose not to fear. And so is faith and trust. I'm going to choose to have faith. It's a choice we make. I have faith in God. I am going to trust him. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It's trust. Paul says, I'm in prison, but I know who's in control. I know who's with me, who's providing for me, who's guiding me. He's trusting in the sovereignty and the providence and the power of God. That's where Paul was, and that's where we ought to be. Folks, when we're fearful, you know, we're forgotten. We've forgotten three things. We've forgotten who God is. We've forgotten whose we are. As his child, we forget that. If I'm a child of God, man, if I'm fearful, I have forgotten, man, I've either forgotten who he is, I've forgotten whose we are, or I've forgotten what God has done for us in the past. And if I just spend a few minutes thinking about what God has done for me, the way he has blessed my life, I can name just right off the cuff, I can give you two examples where really I believe God could spare my life, could have taken my life. We're thrown out of a car, got hit junior in high school, before my junior year in high school, got hit, car did a flip my quarter, threw me out, threw the driver out, had scars on my legs and stuff. Could have easily, right there, the car could have, another quarter roll, it would have rolled right on top of me. God could have taken me right there, protected me through that. Got hit with a softball one time, about an inch from my temple. Knocked me cold. Took me to the doctor. They'd check everything out. Y'all are understanding. I'm telling you, between that and me falling out of the trailer on my head when I was a child, y'all understand now. You're understanding this. I forgot about that one, too. So you just look around. You see what God has done, how he's protected. Folks, I'm here until he's done with me. So why am I going to sweat that and stress that and worry about that? Fear disrespects our Lord. Number two, fear destroys our lives. It destroys our lives. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Now, a snare is a trap. And what does a trap do? Well, it immobilizes. It immobilizes. It renders ineffective. So if you're in a trap, you're in a snare, you're ineffective. You're immobilized. You can't go anywhere. You've been locked down. You're in a snare. And that's what fear is. It's a snare for us. It immobilizes us. In our text, the enemy wants to trap Nehemiah with fear. There was a prophet, this prophet Shemaiah, and he wasn't a man of God. He wasn't a real man of God. He was a hireling. And so the enemies had gotten to him and they paid him off and they want him to come and trap. They say he wants him to set a snare for Nehemiah and to trap him. And so he gets Nehemiah's attention. He says, you need to come in here. And he tells him these things to fill him with fear. He wants him to leave the work. But Nehemiah, the Holy Spirit of God, you have to understand this, is working in his life, gives him wisdom there, gives him discernment. And he recognizes Satan's fear trap. He doesn't fall for that. Folks, Satan is laying that trap for us every day. And if he knows what your weakness is, what is your thing, what is your area of fear, what is it, the thing that's going to cause you to worry, you know what, his little minions are going to bring that into your life. Whatever it's going to take to fill you with fear, to fill you with worry, to fill you with anxiety, to get your eyes off of God, to get you out of the work of God, whatever it takes to do that, that's what he's trying to do. Fear brings a snare, but it also brings torment. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but for perfect love cast out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You know, you can torment yourself physically with fear. And a lot of times, if I'm honest, I mean, there's people that I think some folks almost love the fear. They love the anxiety. They love the... So instead of just trusting God and being done with it, some embrace that. It's almost a culture of how I live. I live in this. I this is my thing that I hold on to. So if it's anxiety, stress, you know, these are things it does when we have fear. It brings this anxiety, the stress. It brings ulcers, high blood pressure. Health issues of all kinds stem from fear and anxiety. Fear is to the body what sand is to machinery. And it will grind up the motor. You put some sand in your engine and it's done. But what is it? Oil. Faith is like oil. It keeps things moving. Man, when we just trust God, it's smooth. It runs. We don't get locked down with the health problems and the emotional issues that come with that. We've got to trust. Fear brings a snare. It brings torment. And fear brings bondage. Hebrews 2:12 says, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Fear of death. There's this fear. Many can't enjoy the moment because they're so afraid of what might happen. Now, I think there's times you have to, listen, you have to be conscious of stuff. So we went to the Grand Canyon. Oh, when did we go to the Grand Canyon? Jesse was, how old were you, Jesse? Do you remember? He was young. He was young. He was old enough to know better and still too young to care. I remember being at the Grand Canyon, and I told the kids, I said, listen, there are no second chances. You go, you get over here, and you do something dumb, you come up in a body bag. They don't go down and get you and bring you up, and everything's okay. So you don't go over here, and you don't run around, you don't run away from us. I want them to have a respect for what was going on there. I didn't want them so fearful they wouldn't move around, but they have to have that respect of what's going on. But sometimes, you know what, we could be there, and we get so caught up in that, we almost want to tie a rope around our child. And you know, we just live in fear that something might happen at any moment. We live in fear. It goes from being protective and watching. Did you tie a rope around your children?
No, they're still staring at
you. They're staring at you? Look, we can do that, right? So we worry about our kids. Some can't fully enjoy their children because they're so afraid of what might happen. I've told y'all this. I don't know if it's irrational. I think it was very rational. But the one fear I had with our children was being out in public and my kids disappearing. One time we were in Walmart, and I guess we'd been playing hide and seek at home and stuff, but we're at Walmart. And I just turned around this quick, and Jordan was gone. And she was probably 6 at the time. And she's gone. So I'm like, instant panic hits, you know. And I'm, Jordan. So now I'm yelling, Jordan. So now she had gotten in one of these circle things of clothes, gotten in the middle playing hide and seek. Well, once I got a little excited, she's like, I ain't coming out. So she's hiding in there out of fear at this point. But fear struck my heart. That was a fear for me. But again, you know what? You have to be smart, right? You set boundaries. You set those things. But we can't walk around in fear all the time because then I'm gonna pour that into them. So here's what we can do. We can become so overprotective of our children that we breed fear into their lives. We propagate into them. We pour into them that fear. And now they become fearful of these things. And it becomes a vicious cycle. Some can't focus on their job because they're so afraid of losing it. Some can't enjoy life because they have a fear of death or a fear of losing their health. Every time they hear about a disease, they think they've got it. You know anybody like that? They start talking about something on TV and they go, oh, you know what? I've got this little thing on my shoulder here. I think I got cancer. You know, because they just watched a commercial about it or whatever. That's a real thing. People do that. But they worry about that. They hear these symptoms, and all of a sudden, psychosomatically, they've got this. They've got whatever it is. Somebody else, oh, you've got, really? That's what you have. You know, I might have that. And man, we just live it. We live in fear with this sometimes. Fear destroys our lives. It disrespects our Lord. Number three, fear delights our enemy. Nehemiah was a gifted leader, but it wouldn't matter how gifted a leader he was if he's paralyzed in fear and his gifting, you know, it would have been useless if he's not engaged, if he's not doing what God's called him to do. His gifting means nothing at that point if he's paralyzed in fear. If we don't use our gifting, we fail to be a blessing to God while we delight the enemy. You know, some can sing, but they don't. There's some of you in this church have great voices, but you won't step up to sing because you don't want to, you know, I'm scared of being up in front of people. Well, God's given you a gift. You can play instruments, but no, I can't be up front. Why? God gave you a gift. Use it. We let fear hinder us from doing what God's called us to do and created within us. I could serve. You could serve. But you don't because out of fear, whatever that fear might be. You may be able to teach. I've had several people go, well, I don't think I could teach. They don't want to stand in front of kids and try to teach. They're afraid other adults will be watching. They don't want to do that because it's fear. It's sometimes our insecurities, amen? And we let fear keep us from doing what God wants us to do, what He's called us and created us to do. Maybe some need to surrender to preach or surrender to be a missionary. But out of fear, no, I'm not going to answer that unless God tells me exactly what I'm going to do because I'm afraid He might call me to so-and-so. Well, if you fear going to so-and-so, He probably won't call you there, or He will call you there. Quit fearing it. Just answer. Do what God says do. Matthew 25:25, for I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. So that's what we do when we take the talents that God has given us and we don't use it. We just burying it in the ground. And we think we're going to give it back to Him at the end. See, Lord, I kept it. I kept it good. I took care of it. But we haven't used it. He didn't need us to play bank. He wants us to invest it. He wants us to grow it. He wants us to use it to further His kingdom. So, that's fear. So what's the answer to fear? What's the answer to fear? Well, the first thing is this. It's right fear dismantles this giant stronghold. Right fear dismantles the giant stronghold. And the giant I'm talking about is fear and worry. Luke 12:4, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid. And that's a command. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That's a command. How many times should God have to say that for it to be applicable to our life? Once. Well, there's one right there. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. If He never said it again, then we have the command to not be afraid. Now, how many of you, raise your hand if you've ever heard that in the Scriptures there's 365 thou shalt, or fear not. Fear not, 365 times. Do y'all know that's not true? Have you ever researched it? So here's what I do. If I'm going to teach something, I don't want to say something. Somebody come back and, you know, it's not true. I'm going, oh, man, I stood up and shared that. So I was studying this week, and I'd heard that. You know, there's 365 thou shalt not. You know, fear not, 365. One for every day of the year, they say. Well, you just go do a simple search on fear not. I think in the King James there's about 65, maybe. In the New King James there's 20-something, maybe, of that phrase. Well, maybe there's other phrasings. If you take all the other phrasings in that kind of capture the idea of fear not, there's like 500. There's a whole lot more than 365. And Gina and I were talking about this either last night or this morning. I said, so we have 500, or if it's 365, or if it's 65, these times that God tells us, fear not. Why do we need all those? If He tells us one time, we should get it, right? You get my point? Maybe it's something because He realizes we struggle with this. And He tells us again and again and again. But right here, my friends, do not be afraid. That's a command. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. He says, fear Him. Capital H. Fear Him. Who after He has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear Him. So the answer to fear is fear. Y'all get that now? I love it when I see somebody go, when they go, what? Oh, yes. Get it. See, the answer to fear, wrong fear, is to have the right fear. You know, and he goes on and he says here, verse 6 says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. There it is again, another command. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Here's the answer to fear. The answer to fear is fear. The third definition of fear, when you look up in Webster's Dictionary, the third definition is profound reverence and awe, especially toward God. The answer to our fear, the answer to the anxiety and the stress and the worry that we go through is having this profound reverence and awe. So what he says is when you look at that word, the Greek verb there, phobio, wow, isn't that cool? Phobio, phobia, we get that word, fear. It's most often translated fear in the New Testament, and it means in the early Greek, it means to put to flight. That's the idea of fear. And it's always used in the passive verse. And it means, its two meanings are, to fear and be afraid or to show reverential fear. So what God says here, what we're reading here in Luke, he says, do not fear these things. Fear me. Have a right reverence for me. If we're filled with awe of God, if we have this awe and this proper reverence and respect for Him, man, that's right fear, and that drives out all the other fear. We have a right fear of the Lord. We have a right view of everything else in our life. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We don't need to fear anything else. We don't need to fear anyone else. We should fear God. If we fear Him and we understand that, then our eyes are on Him. When He is large in our thoughts and focus, everything else is small in our thoughts and focus. I've shared with you, when we get our eyes on our problem, what happens is this problem that's really small becomes really big because we focus on it. It's like we put it under the microscope and all of a sudden everything's blown up big. And man, it's just so huge. This problem is so big in my life. God can't do this. Nothing. Oh, it's just amazing. If we'll just turn our eyes off of the problem and get them on God. Because God's not this little thing down here that we got to focus on and try to pump up. God is the Almighty. And when our eyes are on Him, what problem? It really is. God, I thought I had a problem around here. It's gone. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord brings wisdom. Fear of the Lord brings us to faith in the Lord. Faith brings love for the Lord. Love brings trust, and trust brings obedience, and obedience brings victory over fear. Amen. He says, don't fear. Then let's just be obedient and obey Him and not fear. Well, I know what the Bible says, but. Well, there's no but. Just stop fearing. Preacher, that don't make sense. It makes absolute sense. Get your eyes on Him and get your eyes off the problems. And the problem becomes really, 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 really small until it goes away. It doesn't mean that things go away in the sense that I'm sick. I'm going to tell you, if I've got cancer, I may have cancer and not know it, folks. You know, I could be dead in 3 months. I hope I'm not speaking prophecy. But I'm seriously, I could. I could have a problem. We've heard these stories. I could have a problem this week and go, you know what, man, I got this pain right here in my side. And so I go, you know, it hurts enough, I need to go to the doctor. I go to the doctor and say, oh, we need to get you some scans. They do the scans. And it was like Miss Jeannie. Miss Jeannie had a little issue. She went, she got scanned. And, I mean, they were scanning her mouth, and they find the tumor in her brain that quick. And a couple days later, she's having surgery. That quick. Praise God, it was benign. She's doing great. But it could go the other way that quick. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. It's not going to change it. B, we can trust Him with every need. Matthew 6:25-33, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Again, there's a command. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not not of more value than are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? You know, I've shared, I was 5'11 and three quarter. 5'11 and three quarter. As a young man, that drove me nuts. I so wanted to be 6 foot. I so wanted. But you know what? Worrying didn't make me grow another quarter inch. Nothing's going to change that. And now I'm probably three quarters inch from that. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. Just trust him. He'll provide for your needs. See, here's another answer to fear and worry. Is pray prayers of gratitude. Pray prayers of gratitude. Thankfulness gets your head and heart focused on the right person. Get your head in the right place and your heart on the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be anxious for nothing. Wow, there's another command. Be anxious for nothing. You know what that word anxious is, right? It's careful. In the King James, it's translated careful. And it just means that, full of care. That's what anxiety is. We're all full of care. We're full of these things in our life. We're full of them, and we're sweating them, and we're stressing them, and we're thinking on them, and we're letting it bother us and tear us apart inside, and our minds are racing about all these things. He says, be anxious, be stressed, be full of care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What? With thanksgiving. When we pray, we ought to be thanking the Lord. Yeah. Every time we pray. You want to take a need to him, you ought to take five thanks and expressions of gratitude for every need you go to him with. If you ask him to do something in your life and he does it, man, you ought to be thanking him five times. You ought to be giving thanks. But thanksgiving is so important. Being grateful for what you've done. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You want to not be fearful? Then be grateful. Spend your time thanking the Lord for what he's done. D, thank the right thoughts. Philippians there continues, chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 says, therefore, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of any virtue, anything that's praiseworthy, he says, meditate on these things. Not on the struggles in life. Not on the challenges in life. Not on the problems that we face. Focus on these things. Meditate on these things. Think on these things. Dwell on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. It's amazing. The God of peace will give us peace. He will bring peace. He is the God of peace, so he will bring peace. You know, church, worry, and you've heard this, it's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere, right? There's lots to do, but there's no progress in there. There doesn't make any advance. So according to behavioral psychologists, only about 8% of the things that we worry about could be counted worthy of worry. But those could be divided into two categories, those you can do something about and those you can't. Now, if you can do something about it, what should you do? Do something about it and quit worrying, right? So the solution there of this, whatever percentage of this 8% of all the things we worry about, so let's say maybe 4%, there are things you can actually do something about it. Then do something about it and stop worrying, okay? If you can't do anything about it, then worry is not going to change it anyway, right? So stop worrying about it. So what's the benefit of worrying? There's not a single benefit of worrying. And that's why God says don't do it. Fear and worry are useless and they're wasteful. Pastor Aaron, if you want to come, make your way forward. Just about done. Fear and worry don't take the sorrow out of tomorrow. They take the joy out of today. That's exactly what it does. Folks, what are the things that you worry about and that you fear the most? Some of you this morning, and I'm not pointing fingers. We all struggle with this at times. But you need to think about it. This storm, are you in an absolute fit right now because there's a storm coming? You know, does the fear fill your heart and get you where you can't focus on anything else because you're so concerned about the storm? Storm could be horrible. Worrying's not going to change that. It could be a fraction of what we think it could be. Worry doesn't change that. Worry doesn't do anything. What are the things you worry about? Is it family related, finance related? Is it people oriented? Is it about your stuff? Whatever it is, your focus is in the wrong place if you're worried and if you're fearful. Fear God. Get your eyes on Him. And then the question is, why do you hesitate to submit your worry and your fear to God? Why is it that you're hesitant to do that? Or is it like, you know, I've shared a friend of mine years and years and years ago, he did this illustration. He had this, his imaginary, he kind of worked a drama, and he was Aaron Reynolds' brother. And he comes to, he has a big pack on his back, and it's weighing him down, and he's kind of talking. And he comes to the altar, and he lays it down at the altar, and he prays, and he gives it to God. Lord, I give you all these problems, these concerns, these things that are stressing me, these things that are causing worry. I'll give them to you, Lord, and I'll leave them with you. And he gets up from the altar, and he's, oh, man, that feels good. Man, that's good. Oh, freedom. And he starts to walk away. And he goes back and he picks them back up. Folks, that's what we do. What we got to do is give it to the Lord. We got to give it to the Lord. We got to lay it at the altar. Give it to Him, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Cast it on Him. Give Him your worry. Give Him your fear. Give Him that thing that's causing those problems in your life. And get your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Him. And let that awe, that right fear of Almighty God fill your heart and your mind. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, thank you for your message this morning, your word that you've given us. Lord, I'm humbled when I see, Lord, you put this in my heart a week and a half ago, not knowing that storm would be out there today, not knowing what we would have gone through last weekend with all that went on in North Carolina and along our West Coast, that folks that we love are hurting and have lost earthly possessions, gone through hard times. That Israel would be under the attack that it's been under this past week. That, Lord, just again and again and again, there are things that if we want to worry, we've got plenty of opportunity to worry. Lord, I pray that we as a church, we wouldn't be a worrying church. As a congregation, we wouldn't be a congregation full of individuals who are full of fear. We'd be a congregation. This body of Christ right here in Geneva will be a congregation full of faith, faith, faith. And let that faith drive out fear. Lord, this morning, as we just have a time of invitation, time of reflection, time of response, Lord, would you speak to our hearts? And if we're carrying fear, we're carrying worry, we're carrying anxiety, stress, Father, whatever it is that's doing that, I pray this morning would be a time we would put that down at the altar. Lord, we don't have an altar, so to speak, but Lord, we have an altar here. There's a place folks can come pray. We can come sit at the front pews and pray. We can sit where you're at right now and pray. God, I pray that right now we might cast those cares upon you because you care for us. May we put it down and not pick it back up. May we give it to you and walk away in freedom. Walk away, Lord, light on our feet because we're not carrying that burden that we're not designed to carry. Lord, help us. to cast that upon you and to leave it there. Lord, if there's anyone in our midst this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, anyone who would just say, Preacher, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him as my Savior. I've never been born again. I've never truly been born again. I've never confessed myself a sinner before God and called on the name of the Lord for forgiveness of my sin and placed my faith in him. Lord, if there's anyone in our midst this morning that's never done that, I pray today would be the day. And may they just step out here in a moment, come down and just tell me, Preacher, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. God, I pray that today for that one that's closest to hell this morning. Would you do the great work that needs to be done in their life? Lord, just bless and move now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.